Yeah, I know that we've been through chapter 1 of Acts, and we're looking at Acts of the Spirit of God, Acts of the Holy Spirit, and we've seen the handover from Jesus into the Holy Spirit moving among us. And in Acts 2, we saw that the Spirit is poured out upon the 120 in the upper room. And then Acts 3, Peter preaches a powerful sermon, and 3,000 are added or saved, and there's certain healthy, vital signs that come to the church. They begin to display certain values, really, certain healthy signs in that early church, and we looked at that last week. And so this morning, we're going to be looking at a miraculous healing. So friends, it's more interesting, well, it's sometimes easier to place faith or put faith in finance. So you've got this beggar, and we're going to read the passage in a moment. He had faith for finance, but he didn't have faith for healing. So he was putting out his faith to begging for finance. But it's just like, it reminds me of a story where a guy said, God, is it true that to you a billion years is like a second? And God said, yes. And he said, God, is it true a billion pounds is to you like a penny? And God said, yes. So the guy said, do you think I could have a penny? And God said, in a second. So, but God is true and faithful. So let's look at Acts 3. Was that a dad joke? Hopefully not. So reading from verse 1 through to verse 10. One day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. At 3 in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. And when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Amen. Amen. Our God heals. He does. Jehovah Rapha, our healer. He's not only a physician, he's a great physician. And he's your physician, he's your healer. And that's in the good old King James English, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And I remember there used to be songs that we used to sing along that refrain. I am the Lord, thy God, who healeth thee. And so Peter and John were used by God to heal this man, this lame man. And friends, I want to stress this morning that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so I, in many ways, I'm going to quote a lot of scriptures regarding God's word, God's promises in relation to healing. And God help us in our unbelief. Even those at times had to say, oh, I do believe. You know, are you willing? And Jesus said, I am willing. He said, oh, Lord, help me in my unbelief. God is willing. God is able. But it's our part. God help us to rise above unbelief and doubt. Because, friends, that's a blanket. It just smothers the life of God where we just think, oh, I'm not so sure. Even Smith Wigglesworth, the great apostle that God raised up in this nation, said there'll come a time when it'll be difficult to get people healed because the NHS will be the first turn. It's right there. And whereas in Africa, where I come from, not always medical care is great or there or even available. And so people are desperate and their faith, and they turn to God and they believe. And we see miracles. I've seen amazing miracles. I don't want to run ahead of myself. But friends, there's 27 instances in the Gospels where we see people healed and Jesus healing on many occasions, the demonized. But then it said all who were present were healed, not just some, all. My goodness, man, I think, and we said that the word says there'll be greater things that happen in our day and generation. So just some of the all moments of healing. Matthew 8, verse 16, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and bore our diseases. He took up our infirmities and he bore our diseases. Let that be revelation to us this morning. In Matthew 12, verse 15, many followed him and he healed all their sick. Matthew 14, 36, and all who touched him were healed. Do you want to reach out and touch Jesus this morning? Oh, he touched me. Well, we could touch him. We could press in through faith and touch him. I'm going to ask Harry, I've spoken to him before, just to share a testimony about what happened when he called upon Jesus for healing. And if any of you don't know Harry, you should know because he's taller than most of us. And I've got to try and push this mic up to the ceiling. That should be all right, eh?
Hello? Yeah. Yeah, so a little while ago, I had a night of really bad pain in my chest. And I couldn't stop coughing. And I was coughing and coughing and coughing. And it wouldn't stop. And it was getting so painful and so painful. And I just thought, do you know what, Harry? Put your faith in the Lord. Put your faith in the Lord. And I did. And I said, Lord, please help me. Please help me, Lord. And he answered me and he healed me. He healed me. And he took my cough away. And I just felt so, so uplifted. And I slept calmly. And I woke up feeling better than ever. And ever since that night, I've just really come closer and closer to God. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you, God.
That's our God. You can't argue with an encounter with God. You changed. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I was like this and then I was like that. And what was the difference? Well, I asked Jesus. I called on Jesus and put my trust in him and faith in him. And friends, we think, well, there's 27 accounts in the Gospels of healing and Jesus healing. Well, friends, it says in the end of the Gospel of John that if Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose even the whole world would not have room for all the books that could be written. So this is our God. And out of the 20 Acts, or 28 chapters of Acts, 12 of those chapters have healing in them. So this is not an exception, even for the early church or the church in the book of Acts. And friends, sometimes we think, well, this lame beggar, he was an exception. No, we're not unlike the lame beggar. And what do I mean by that? You see, though our experience may not include miraculous healing from lame, being lame or crippled, we're all in the state of a desperate need. We all have need of healing. And even to be spiritually born again, that's a miraculous thing. That's a miracle right there of the spiritual rebirth, of being born of the Spirit, or born of God, or born from above. In some ways, born again. That is what it is. It's a miracle right there. And to move from death to life, that takes a spiritual step of faith and to begin this life and follow Jesus. So my first point this morning is God designed us, you and I, to be disciplined and devoted. To be disciplined and devoted. Friends, Peter and John were on their way to a prayer meeting. They were not on the way to perform a miracle. So Jane and Paul were on their way to church this morning, and there was a truck driver. And so there was a moment where they were interruptible. There was a moment where they could say, well, actually, this could be an opportunity of a truck that's come across my path, and I could act on that. And so, friends, when it comes to even last week, we looked at what the church was devoted to, and it was devoted to the fellowship and breaking of bread the apostles' teaching, which was the word of God. They were devoted to certain things and not giving up meeting and daily gathering, etc. I'm not going to revisit that, but prayer was one of those things. You see, prayer, friends, our heart is restless until it finds rest in God, until it finds peace in God. And we created for that intimate relationship. This morning is an expression of that, when we come into a place of worship and we express our worship to God in intimacy. But relationships take time. They take attention, really. So if you think of Moses, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. And then it goes on to say in Psalm 103, verse 7, he made his ways known to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. There was a distinction there. Because he was known as a friend of God, he made known his ways to Moses. You see, it wasn't what God could do for Moses, but who he was to Moses. And Moses wasn't pining for his palace days. It wasn't like once he had an encounter at the burning bush, he wasn't thinking, oh, when I lived in Pharaoh's palace, man, I had it good. He was changed. He was changed. He didn't want to go back there except to live, be a deliverer leader and lead the people out of slavery and out of bondage and do what God called him to do, because his life had been impacted by the living God, the great I am. And so when you change, when you encounter with God, you're never the same. As Harry said, you know, my life was changed. I experienced something there. You see, we could wish for fame, we could wish for fortune or finance and maybe even what feels good. But you see, if I focus on what I could be missing out, and often social media does that because we see people eating better food, doing more exciting things, but they're giving you their highlights and we think we're missing out and we fear we're missing out. But you see, when you focus on God, my friends, it's like your life has become a great adventure. I was a wanderer. I had a wanderlust, and in many ways, travel and adventure and experiences was part of my idol. It was something I worked many jobs for. It was affection of my heart. I paid a price to do what I. It was really the thing that I was. I wouldn't say buying down to, but it was something I gave myself to. Pursuing it with everything I had, I traveled to many nations, friends, like countless nations. Not countless, sorry, 20-something nations. I remember looking at the stamps in my passport and being so excited by all these stamps. But then when I came to the Lord, my life became even more exciting. I ended up going to places I never thought I would go. I ended up going on a reconciliation walk to Turkey. I can remember meeting people from other nations there. It was very exciting. Really apologizing for the Crusades and what had happened in the Crusades and saying that wasn't Jesus and that wasn't Christianity. And God took us on an adventure from there to Mongolia, and our son learned to walk in Mongolia. And then we came and we went back to Mongolia a second time. And I could mention spending years in Turkey after that. So it was just these, it's amazing when you're serving God. We ended up in the UK. Never thought in my wildest dream God is able to do exceedingly abundantly, immeasurably more than you could ask or imagine. When you only trust Him, entrust Him with your life and see where He will lead you and see what He will do through you. I mean, I can look across this room and see people who've been to nations, who've lived in nations, people who've gone to Steph, who's been to Mozambique, who's been to South Africa, who's been to Borneo. I mean, would she have even have dreamt of going to Borneo in her life? You know what I'm saying? It's just amazing how God can do incredible things when we believe Him and we trust in Him. And so friends, like any relationship, when you think of the garden, man was created for what? To walk in the quiet of the day in fellowship and sweet communion, really, with God. And Adam had that. And friends, when we look at the levels of relationship that we have now, because we are created for intimate relationship with God. And it needs time, it needs attention if it's going to be real. If I ignore Bibi, and there are times, friends, to be honest, I might be preoccupied. Aren't we all? Even on your phone or whatever. And you may not be listening. You may be distracted. The phone is the first thing you look at because maybe there's a message or maybe there's this or that. Instead of rolling off and saying, good morning, darling. How are you this morning? Can I make you a cup of coffee? But if I ignore this relationship, it's not going to be long before something's going to go off kilter. Even 1 degree long enough will become miles apart. If I just keep walking on that path, I don't have to do anything else. Just deviate a slight. Am I more preoccupied with other things? Have I checked out? Have I checked out? You see, daily disciplines are a reflection of our devotion to God and where our heart's at. Do we make time for the God, for the Lord? Do we make time to spend in the Word, in worship, and even in prayer? That reflects this relationship, and the relationship will benefit from that time. And I clean my teeth, and that's a reflection of my daily discipline of personal hygiene. And I don't think I've forgotten too many times to brush my teeth. And even spending, as I say, time in the Word and prayer is a reality of my relationship with the Lord. You see, if we open our hearts, God will make His ways known to us. Miracles shouldn't move us. Miracles shouldn't be the thing that lead us. It shouldn't be. It's the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God. When we work, we work. But when we pray, God works.
Yeah, love it.
And God calls us to come just as we are. Some years ago, it must have been almost 10, no, maybe a bit less than that, years ago, this friend of ours, Warren, phoned me, desperate. I can't even remember if he was driving in the car, but he said, there's been an accident. My daughter's drowned. I'm on my way to the hospital. It doesn't look good. I don't know how long she'd been under the water, but she was in a vegetative state. There was no visible life. There was no visible response, friends, when she got to that hospital. I remember being at the bedside and being desperate for Warren and his wife, Kath, for this little girl, Naomi. And friends, when I looked at that situation, I just felt something of the Word of God rise up in me. And you see, there was a scripture in Hebrews that said, women received back their dead. They were raised to life again. And I started to speak that over little Naomi. And I started to believe that in my heart, that this girl's going to be brought to life. And she's not going to suffer brain damage. And she's not going to suffer any harm. She's going to be brought from this death-like state. They put her in a coma, friends, for days on ice. Because there was no signs of living brain activity. She was in that way. And friends, the miracle of this story is that she is 100% healthy today. She is a perfect. In fact, for her 7th birthday, she had a pool party, and he has the girl, Naomi. This is the power of God, friends, of God being able to do the miraculous. I've seen deaf ears opened. I've seen legs grow out multiple times. I've seen partially sighted people seeing. I've seen incredible things. I've seen people set free, delivered of demons. I've seen amazing things, friends. Stuff's in the Bible. And so when I say that God is the same God. Same God. And second point, God designed us to be healthy. In Proverbs 4, and I want to encourage every person to read Proverbs. It says, get wisdom. Whatever you do, get wisdom. It's like the most priceless thing. More priceless than rubies. And get wisdom. If you lack wisdom, the Bible says you can ask for it. But it says wisdom is supreme. Words of godly wisdom will be life to those who get them or find them. And health to a man's whole body. You know, tie wisdom to health right there. The choices you make, the way that you live out your life. There's wisdom. And friends, there's health on the other side of that wisdom. Above all else, guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. It was the first message I preached in this church, and it will probably be the last message I preach in this church. If I had one last message to preach, I'd say, guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. If you get grumpy with me, if you get offended with someone in this church, think of that scripture. Above all else, guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. The more I've gone on, the more I realize this verse is the verse that needs to hold me on the compass and hold me true. And the psalmist said, he sent forth his word and healed them. Never, never neglect confessing the word of God. Speak the word. Speak the healing word in faith. Feed your faith and your doubts will die of starvation. Smith Wigglesworth used to say things, I'm not moved by what I see, but what I believe. I mean, there were people that sometimes would say, you callous brute, how could you punch that person in the stomach or kick that baby off the stage? But the person was healed. He did what God called him to do in great faith. Great faith. I would never kick a child. But he was obviously doing authority of the enemy and the power of sickness over that body of the works of darkness. He was taking authority. And he would say, only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Fear looks, but faith jumps. I mean, these are great things. And Angus Buchan, another man of faith, the seedbed of only any great miracle is not difficulty, but impossibility. So he's like almost saying, bring it on. The more impossible it is, the greater glory that God will get. Because then it's God, and no man can say, well, that could be this or that. Because this is God. And so, friends, Through God's servants, they speak a healing word, the message of grace. Silver and gold have I none, said he, but such as I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. I can see I was a child a long time ago. And they went walking and leaping and praising God. Walking and leaping and praising God. It's a great song that just reminds you of that scripture. As a child, I've never forgotten it because we would go walking and leaping and praising God and we would act out that scripture because it was like, that's real, man. It happened. And so whoever touched him, in Jesus' name, we lay hands on the sick and they will get well. That's Mark 16. God said it, I believe it. That should settle it. Our God is willing. Our God is able. He took up our infirmities and carried our diseases. All who touched him in faith were healed. You see, power was coming out from him and healing all who touched him. By his wounds, by the stripes upon his back, you are healed. You see, friends, if Jesus is the head of his body, surely he wants his body healthy. If he's the head of you, surely he wants you healthy. Healing is the children's bread. As believers, it's your bread. Jesus' body broken so you could partake of healing and wholeness. Not from scraps, friends. He hasn't called you to partake of scraps. From the table. The Bible says there's life in the blood. There's life in the blood. There's life in his blood. There's healing in his blood. It says in John 10:10, the thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come to give you life. And life to the abundant, abundant life, Zoe life, resurrection life, full life. I can't put enough adjectives to that life, but it's a life that raises up a little girl, Naomi, from a pool drowning and gives her life, and she's totally 100%. Life more abundant. God's got so much more. Friends, don't settle for what I'm sharing this morning. Go to the Word of God. Go to the Word of God. Let the truth be yours, even under pressure, even under testing. You can hear I'm not 100%, but I'm speaking on healing this morning. And then the more I speak, the better I feel. Not that we're going to be here all day. But you see, God's got plans for you. Plans to give you hope and a future, not to harm you, but to prosper you. Wow. He doesn't want to harm you. He wants to heal you. He wants to heal you. He wants to heal you. Body, soul, and spirit. Mind, will, and emotions. He wants to heal you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You're made in body, soul, and spirit. Cast your cares upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. It was Psalm 55, verse 22. Psalm 145, verse 16. He opens his hand and satisfies the desires of every living thing. Psalm 147, verse 3, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Go to God. Go to God. Friends, even in the Garden of Eden, when the enemy got in there, sickness entered. Sickness entered. But friends, make Jesus the center. Come back to the God. Come back to the priority of that relationship. You see, even Romans 8 talks about life in the Spirit. Therefore, there's now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus because the life of the Spirit of God, has given us life, life of the Spirit. Life of the Spirit. The Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. What has set you free? Well, the Spirit of life has set me free. You see, sin and sickness is abnormal. The thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come to give you life, Jesus says, and life to the full. And that's why it says at the end of Psalm 62, one thing God has spoken, two things I've heard. Power belongs to you, God, and with you is unfailing love. Power belongs to God. There's so many scriptures about the power of God. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, both Jew and Gentile. King David had this revelation in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 11. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and yours is yours. Everything in heaven is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted over as head over all. He is exalted over all. Nothing, absolutely nothing is too difficult for him. Have faith in God, Jesus answered. Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes what they have said it will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe you've received it, and it will be yours. Rather die trusting God than live in unbelief. That's my mantra. Rather die trusting God than live in unbelief, because where's unbelief going to take you? We focus on God's love, His goodness, His blessing. Then unbelief won't have a hold over us. You see, the Holy Spirit, friends, is always positive. The enemy's always negative. If your mind's going down a negative path, it's been influenced by the wrong way, wrong by the enemy. So this is a verse that, man, it challenges me. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Think about such things. Friends, don't think about the news. The news is going to put you down in the dumps, in the doldrums. It's going to make you depressed. Don't meditate on the news. Don't rehash the news. Try and look at things that are good. Speak about testimonies like Harry. Speak about God doing stuff on the street like yesterday where somebody asked for a Bible and we could point them to the bookshop, Christian bookshop. You know, that kind of thing. God is working. God is working. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And I know Naomi's been doing this in a daily devotional, sending it out to those who want and in the home group. But the fruit of the Spirit, friends, is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. The fruit of the Spirit. Oh, God, help us to grow in that. That is what I want to grow in. There's no limit to the fruit of the Spirit. Friends, church is not a place, and I heard this week, church is not a place where mistakes get rubbed in. But friends, church is a place where mistakes get rubbed out. Amen. Isn't that great? God is gracious. God is compassionate. God is slow to anger. God is full of loving kindness, rich in loving kindness. And so, friends, I know that sometimes sickness can be rooted in the demonic. When we think of this lady, and it's in Luke 13, on the Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who'd been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and couldn't straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Then should this woman, a daughter of Abraham, in other words, a woman of faith, a believer, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her? Friends, you can have a spiritual stronghold. You could have even a spirit of infirmity. God wants to break that off you. God wants to a supernatural healing by the touch of Jesus. Should you not, man, young woman, or child, be not touched by Jesus this morning and raised up, straightened up? Because it was for freedom Christ came to set us free. You see, she had to do something she couldn't do before. She had to straighten up. It wasn't like Jesus pulled her up by the hair. She straightened up. God is saying, can I break doubt off you this morning? Can I break negativity off you this morning? Can I throw off heaviness off you this morning? Put on a garment of praise and throw off the spirit of heaviness or despair this morning. You see, the moment she received her healing, what did she do? She praised God. Similar to the cripple in the Gate Beautiful. He went leaping and praising, walking and leaping and praising God. He immediately started praising God. And when you've been touched by the great emancipator, the great emancipator, the great one who brings freedom to you this morning, how can you be silent? How can I be silent in my knowing when the jubilee of Jesus is the jubilee for me? The jubilee of Jesus, jubilee was the 50th year. I'm 50, so I'm celebrating, I'm 51 actually, but I'm celebrating my jubilee because now I'm in the jubilee of Jesus. And so there's a jubilee that there was a year when they were set free of bondage and debt. And they were brought into freedom. That was the jubilee year. Let this year be your jubilee year. Jesus must have passed through this gate beautiful many times and passed this lame beggar. Yet there was a set time. This was the time. This was the hour. Ecclesiastes says, God has made everything beautiful in his time. Something at the gate beautiful was made beautiful. Somebody in their healing, in their praise of God, in their worship. All beautiful you are to me, Jesus. Even, you know, Jesus in John 5 said, I can only do what I see my Father doing. I can only do what I see my Father doing. There's a set time for everything. And maybe one other test or another illustration from the Old Testament. Naaman was a military commander who was crippled with incurable disease, leprosy. And he had to humble himself and go and wash in the river. He said, haven't we got better rivers than their river? Muddy Jordan, whatever, like, oh my goodness. But he had to put his pride in his pocket. Sometimes we've got to put our pride in our pocket to get healed. And if you come for a miracle and it's a miracle you need, it's a miracle you'll get. You see, the path of the righteous is like the morning sun shining ever brighter till the full light of day. That's from Proverbs 4. I love that. God's people are going to shine brighter and brighter. Let the light of God shine on your face this morning. And then these last 2 points I'm going to go through very quickly as we land. God designed us to be instruments of healing. Peter had to direct this man's gaze, this cripple's gaze to him. And he had to say, look at us. You see, Peter was going to the temple, but he had to see what God wanted him to see. Like Paul and Jane were interruptible this morning. Are you interruptible? You've never looked upon somebody who doesn't matter to God. Do we hear the cries of people or do we ignore them? It was wonderful last week on the streets. Fraser Simpson, he has a man, friends, who had shot up so many times on mainline heroin that he had lost all veins except the groin. And even the groin got infected, at which point the doctors say, we're going to have to amputate. He got a little bit like Harry saying, I want God, God, I don't want to lose my leg. I want to walk again. God. And God met with him. That man's life today, he's serving God. He's free of drugs. He is serving God in Teen Challenge, on the street ministry, testifying about, he's got a hip replacement because that disease had destroyed his hip. There were some consequences. I suppose, you know, sometimes we. He's got his leg. He's walking, leaping, praising God. But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its rays, and you will go out and frolic like well-fed calves, leaping and walking and praising God. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, we have been healed. Past tense. In other words, you have been healed. I was like, that means I've got to appropriate that healing. It's paid for in full on the cross. It is finished. The healing is yours. Paid for. Now you appropriate that healing. Believe it and you will receive it. As we appropriate the finished work of the cross. Because faith, friends, is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. And if you don't see it, well, just let faith rise in your heart. God wants to work through you. God healed the man through Peter and John. And it's the same yesterday, same God yesterday, today, and forever. So, friends, this is an interesting one. God healed people through Paul's handkerchiefs. You'd think that's not a very sterile thing. You know, go lay this handkerchief on. I don't know if it was a clean one or a used one, but go lay that handkerchief. But you know that he wrote to Timothy and he said, Timothy, you need to take a little wine. Stop drinking only water. Take a little wine for your frequent illnesses and your stomach ailments. Even the great apostle Paul couldn't heal Timothy. He was saying, hey, God uses natural things. God gives wisdom. Let's use medical science. Where medical science, you probably find there's some healing properties in grapes and wine. and he was healed. I trust he was healed. I believe, you know, Timothy had a long life and served God. Even Paul had a thorn in the flesh, begged God for God to take it away. But God said it was to stop him being puffed up or conceited with these surpassing revelations that God gave him. In his wisdom, God allowed that. But friends, I'm not saying sickness is a thorn in the flesh. Hear what I'm saying and what I'm not saying, okay? He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. This is a beautiful finishing verse from Revelation 21. the new heaven, the new earth, the new Jerusalem, and then God dwelling among us. Imagine that, God with us. Not just Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus born into this world. This is God with us for eternity. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Hallelujah. Amen. And then fourth and last point, we were designed to bring him glory. As this lame man went walking and leaping and praising God. He went from begging and to giving thanks, from a taker to a giver, giving thanks and glory to God. And at the gate beautiful, he entered the gates with thanksgiving and the courts with praise. So friends, people can pick apart your beliefs or your theology, but they can't pick apart and they can't dismiss your experience. If you've experienced the living God and you've encountered God, man, that's a testimony nobody can refute. And it brings glory to him. God is most glorified, John Piper says, when we're most satisfied in him. That's why it says, not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory because of your love and faithfulness. Not to us, but to your name be the glory. He is God, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and end, the first and the last. He put the stars in place and he called them by name. And you could go out this morning saying, silver and gold I have none, but such as I have give I unto you. You can say that this morning. Respond to the Lord this morning. In the name of Jesus, speak into your situation. Speak into your life. There's power in his name. And we bring glory to his name when we exercise the authority and walk in that authority. And I love this promise over you this morning. The Lord, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Write that on your fridge. Write that. Make that a fridge magnet. And so I can't close the meeting without giving you an opportunity to pray for you. And if you've never given your life to God, friends, this is an opportunity to respond to God. Put your trust in him, put your faith in him, because he's a great Savior.